All right. Good evening, everybody. Hope you've been able to join us from the other side. I'd like to pose a question tonight for all who have ears to hear. The question is, will all good people go to heaven? Will all good people go to heaven? Have you ever heard of a man named George Calixtus? Herr Calixtus, he was German, lived about 300 years ago, and he attempted to bring unity to the religious world. His point of view was, all religious beliefs are acceptable to God and therefore should be unified. Now, there are many in this world today who hold a similar point of view as Calixtus, like those who say there are many paths to heaven. In his attempts to bring the religious world together, Calixtus was met with suspicion and criticism that resulted in even further division. But is it any wonder? God's word may be scoffed at, but he is still in control. Anybody who attempts to write about religion and tries to justify different religious beliefs in the name of unity needs to keep in mind what God tells us through Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The Apostle Paul was inspired to write in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, if the creator of the earth and all that is in it wrote down for us all that we need to know for our learning, then mankind has no place to appoint himself editor of God's word." Many people think that if they're good, they'll go to heaven when they die. And many don't even distinguish between those who are good and those who are not so good when they talk about who's going to heaven. Now, these beliefs likely result when someone receives a little religious training when they're young. They hear about God and his mercy, and he's willing to overlook anyone's faults. Sadly, they never continue to study God's word once they hear what they want to hear. Be good so you can go to heaven. They're never taught the steps that God requires of us in order to benefit from his grace. So do all good people know that salvation is only found in Christ? Jesus' disciple Thomas posed a question to Jesus on the night Jesus was betrayed. He asked a question that everyone concerned with his own salvation should ask. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Salvation is only found in Christ. Do all good people know that salvation in Christ is unique? You know, it's nice to be open-minded, tolerant of others' views. That's how we show our love for others. But their worldview cannot be permitted to dilute or undermine the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, as we read in Romans 1:16. The gospel is, in fact, unique. It's one of a kind. It's where Christians take our stand and separate ourselves from the unbelieving world. It's described by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The gospel of Christ is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So many have tried to pattern the gospel of Christ to fit their own doctrine, when in fact it is the pattern of Christ that we must mold ourselves to. Remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." When teaching about Christ in Acts 4, verse 12, Peter says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Salvation is unique in Christ. Salvation in Christ is unique. Do all good people know that salvation depends on them coming to Christ? Jesus said in the Gospel of John 8, verses 31 to 32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We cannot abide in that which we do not read, study, and understand. The truth shall make you free. Free from what? Well, Jesus tells us a little further in verse 34, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. You're not free, you're a slave of sin. God's word, the truth, shall make you free from the slavery brought by sin. James exhorts us in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, we deceive ourselves if we scoff at doing God's will. If we believe that all the different religious teachings are equally valid, we believe a lie. Think of all of their different, often opposing beliefs in God's nature, the inspiration of the scriptures, miracles in scripture, life beyond death, the final judgment, and heaven and hell. If we believe that any of these viewpoints are valid, then it doesn't matter which one you believe, because if they contradict one another, then none of those doctrines can be true. George Calixtus tried to unify the religions of the world, but he failed in his method. God wants to unify all people of the world through Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We read a similar message in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul was talking to Christian believers. If you hear the message of the gospel and you believe it, then God commands you to repent. These times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Acts 17:30-31 is talking about Christ, of course. For those who never were taught the steps God requires of us in order to join him in heaven, we must also be willing to confess his name before men. Matthew 10:32. And be buried with him in baptism, in which you also will be raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him, that is, raised Christ, from the dead. That's Colossians 2:12. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sam quoted that earlier. It's 1 John 1 verse 9. You know, I hope that I've helped you see that the inspired word of God, the Bible, goes far beyond teaching us to be good so you can go to heaven. If you're starting to come to that realization tonight, then I'd like to add this thought from a recent issue of Gospel Minutes. They wrote, Jesus excludes no one who will come to him. He invites you, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you must do it his way. Will you trust in him and do it? Your goodness cannot save you. Your sincerity will not save you. Your choice of gods or religions cannot save you. But God can save you through Jesus Christ. If you wish to be baptized, or if you have need of the prayers of the church, please follow the instructions coming on the screen shortly, and join us in the knowledge that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might indeed have hope. Let's sing a song of invitation for those who wish to follow Christ.